we go. Okay.
Hey, Jeff.
And we're doing the Mac show today.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hey, Jeff.
Yes.
Just a suggestion. Do you want to give me recording capability? I'll do a backup.
That sounds great.
Just because I'm paranoid over that kind of thing.
There, you now have permission.
Thank you, sir. And I am recording too.
Awesome. All right. Well, I will start a timer so I have at least some idea when we're supposed to wrap up. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Mac Show. Just like yesterday, I am not Ewan Rankin, and you can tell the difference because I wear glasses all the time, and he wears them some of the time. Also, the accent. I'm Jeff Gamet, and I am filling in for Ewan as best as I can, and we'll see how long it takes before this train goes off the rails today. So introductions, I'll just work my way around my screen here, and we'll start with Dave Ginsberg. How are you today, Dave?
Doing great. Glad to be back here. It's Friday, so we have some fun here. So
yeah, and this is your second time on, and here's Doc. So I'll add him in. And see, now we have the beauty part of the show because Doc is with us.
What?
Good morning, Doc. Okay, so what I see now is that it doesn't matter if it's 5 in the morning for you or
8 a.m.
No, I've been up since 5, and then I started doing other things because I was already up, and then I went home to go eat and shower and, you know, shave the head and do the beard thing. And then Patrice texts me when I'm in the bathroom getting ready for work.
And now here you are.
Yeah,
I would be glad you could make it.
I'd be on my way to work at this point. But yeah. And that's anyway.
Well, good morning.
Communication. See?
All right. Well, Doc, Patrice, all you've missed is that I've started introductions and let everyone know that I am not Ewan.
Well, yeah, okay.
And we've made a lot in the pre-show a lot of jokes about you.
I just want to say at this point, I know it's been like a little more than a year, Patrice, but you got miscommunication down pat. Get it? Down pat? Get it?
I see what you did there. All right. Well, I'm going to continue with introductions because so there. Patrice, how are you?
Doing good. It's finally Friday. I was so ready for this all day. We can blame Mueller, by the way, for the miscommunication, like, and Ewan. Okay. Like, they're not here, so let's blame those people.
It's Mueller's fault.
I like your headphones. Those are nice.
Yes, they are. I'm doing good. It's like busy week, and September's almost over, and today, like, really, I think fall is coming, or like it's like full here in full force. Like, it was really cold today and everything, raining, wind, you got the full package. So I'm a little sad.
I kind of missed that summer. I don't know what fall is anymore.
No, yeah. Because
I think I'm gonna move over to ducks.
Like, no, but yeah. I actually missed the fall. Fall was dope, dude. Like, when it's like kind of sort of cold, but not like, you know, Boulder, Colorado cold. And then, you know, you just throw on what do they call it in the UK? A jumper, a woolly jumper. You know, just throw on a woolly jumper, get yourself a cup of cocoa or tea, or my grandpa's favorite, hot brandy with cinnamon stick, or the lemon one. What is it called? Mm-hmm. Hot toddy.
A hot toddy. Yeah.
Oh, bro, that's the best. And if you drink one of those here, I'll be sweating bullets. But yeah.
It's true.
Yeah. Oh, good times. Yeah.
I'm mesmerized by Chuck's background.
Oh, okay.
It is.
And speaking that's of right. Chuck, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. And I forgot to turn the monitors off. I just, yeah, so you're seeing the screensaver, but Doc, you're under my power.
Send chocolate. You know what's funny, Jeff? This morning at 4:30 a.m. when I read the Mueller's comment about Warren Ginsburg, I thought he meant you can now mourn Ginsburg. I thought he was making one of his corny jokes. So I didn't realize he was talking about David.
Yes, he was.
Not the Notorious.
And I am not related. So I got to make sure that everybody.
Don't tell people that.
I am not. Exactly.
That's my auntie, yo. Give me. Yeah. If the cops pull you over, do you know who my auntie is?
Ironically, my grandmother's name was Ruth. So.
See?
And she passed. She passed about 17 years ago. So.
So when you tell people that you are related to Ruth Ginsburg, you are not lying.
Exactly.
This is true. But not Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
Nobody needs to know that.
Details. You know, the omission doesn't make you a liar. The fact that someone else makes an assumption is not your fault.
Exactly.
Story.
And Doc, how are you doing?
Oh, fantastic. Absolutely good. It's been an incredible and busy week for me. Like absolutely nuts. That's all I can say. Absolutely nuts. Big things coming down the pipeline, I hope. So just awesome. keeping the crossed fingered. And we'll see.
So awesome that you showed up for the show a day early.
Yeah, that was funny. Like that was really funny. I was like, hey, where everybody at?
Like, just for what?
That just goes to show you just the effect that COVID-19 and the lockdown have had, that we've all kind of lost track. But
that's true.
I've had that thing too. In fact, it happened to me earlier this week where I took a call first thing in the morning and said, yeah, see you tomorrow. And it's like, no, see you Friday. And it's like, oh yeah, that's right. You know, I lost today or gained today or something. It's crazy.
I've given up on trying to believe that time is a linear construct. It just, it all blends together into a big ball of wibbly wobbly timey wimey.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
That's funny. Yep. And I just realized that, that the Mac Show today on the British Tech Network, there is no one that qualifies as British here today.
Yes, this is true.
Where's Callum?
Callum bowed out earlier. He couldn't make it today. I honestly think what it came down to is when Callum realized that I was going to be hosting the show today, that emotionally it would be too much for him, and so he just had to take the day off.
That's funny.
That'll work. Yeah.
That's super funny.
So there's not a lot of news, but I found a couple things. So I'm dropping the links for the news articles that I found into the chat room, since I'm not going to be popping them up on the screen. And the first news thing that I found is from Bloomberg, and Apple has bought Scout FM. And for people that aren't familiar with Scout FM, it's a podcast aggregator app that gives you a different way of playing and discovering podcasts. So it's more like the way radio works, hence the FM and Scout FM. So Apple now owns this company, and I would love to hear what all of you think about this.
Okay, so go, Chuck.
This is, and I don't mean this to be quite as harsh as it comes out, but is there anyone that listens to radio anymore?
Yeah, yes, so, some old people do.
I still do.
We're all old people, Patrice.
That's all we know. That's true. No, like my mom and so on. I mean, yeah, she's a little bit older than you guys.
I mean, yep. So I kind of like the idea. I kind of see where this idea would come from. But to me, it doesn't sound a lot different than, you know, having my own smart playlist of podcasts that I want to listen to. The only thing I can see here is discovery. that if I'm and the article says, you know, if you're into sports, okay, so if I tune into a sports station, maybe I'm exposed to some sports podcasts that I don't know anything about. But I'm too much of a control freak to, you know, to just say, oh, I think I'll go listen, you know, listen to this generic thing and have somebody pick it for me.
I think it's a
Well, this is exactly why Patrice needs to send her computer to Iman Max.
Yes, it just died.
Just like that.
Oh, it's back.
Okay, I don't know what that was, but it was interesting. But I was saying, I think we have a discovery problem on the podcast side. For us, it's easy. Like, we know someone who does podcasts, or like we're on Twitter and we see.
Well, there we go. See, now if Callum was here, he could take advantage of this and and promote I'm in Max. But Callum, you're not here, so this is on you.
So one of the things that's okay, so the last big numbers I heard was there was like, you know, 750,000 podcasts, and we were going to be to 1 million by September. So obviously it's past September. Let's just, in all assumptions, say that we're past 1 million, especially because COVID caused a whole bunch of people to create podcasts or to reintroduce old defunct podcasts. I'm looking at you, Brett Terpstra, Dave Kahlo. So
I knew where you were going, and actually,
even Steve Sandy told me that he was going to bring back one of the Apple World Today shows. So like, we know that folks are bringing back their podcasts, and so it is very hard if you're a small caster and, you know, you don't already have a long legacy of people that watch. Discovery is very difficult. And so maybe Apple can use Scout FM as some way of helping to launch the cast for people that are not from, I'm going to use MCN for lack of a better words. That's what they call it on YouTube, where they make a network out of a bunch of creators. And then, you know, all of a sudden you have a thing. So you 5x5, right? You know, 5x5 is a good example of what is an MCN for podcasting. So maybe with Scout FM, it gives, you know, other people an opportunity to grow. And one of the things that they can do possibly maybe for income is have ad space that's relatively cheap. Like, a lot of podcasters don't realize they should be buying Facebook ads, even if you only spend in, say, $25 to $50 a month on Facebook ads. It really goes a long way to helping you increase your listenership, you know. But I think maybe it's something that they can do like that. That goes along with Chuck said about the discovery as well.
Mm-hmm. Sorry about my, I think my one of my connections was loose. I think it's like Apple News. Like, if you think about what Apple News does, like it just aggregates the news sources out there by topic, and you can go in and say, I want to see, I don't know, like makeup trends, or I want to see everything about smartphones, or like, I don't know, AI, anything like that by topic. And you can go in and know, like, you don't have to know what, like, who's writing about it. You just go in and say, I'm interested in this topic. And it shows you everything that's relevant, or that it might be relevant for you. And that gets you started. And then you can pick and choose and say, okay, like, I don't know, I'm not interested in Wired, for example. I don't like their stuff. So just don't show me that. And that way you get like to what we already have, which is a list of podcasts that we're interested in. But I mean, even we are looking for new podcasts all the time, or at least I am. Like, I'm constantly, like, Castro has that already. I'm constantly in the Castro, like, discovery tab and looking for new stuff, because I want to know what's out there, and there's so much great content that nobody knows about.
Yeah, I'm the same too. I like to look for all the different kinds of content and podcasts. And really, if you look at why Apple is getting this, I mean, they're really trying to build their podcast presence. It's been quite a while that they just kind of let it to the back burner. But now, within the last year, they just really were wanting to build this up and really put a prominence with podcasting, especially going after, you know, like Spotify and some of those others that are out there. Even Amazon now is doing podcasts, has podcasts listed in the Amazon Music app that just got released last week. So I think that really that's what this was. And then just trying to provide this, especially on CarPlay, to get these different channels easy to find things. You know, like I'm looking at the picture that 95 Mac has on this story, and the history nerd, science geeks, radio fear, all the different types of topics. And I could see why they wanted to get in on this and integrate that with the CarPlay and podcast.
You know, what's funny is, I didn't think about this until like recently, but recently it dawned on me one day. I was having a whiskey introspection. I remember growing up as a kid.
It's a beautiful thing.
And like riding with, G-Pops in the car and be like, why does this dude listen to other people talk on the radio all day when we could be listening to Michael Jackson or Donny Osmond or, something better than just people yapping. I just dated myself. Jefferson Starship. Let me keep going. Jefferson Airplane.
Jefferson Airplane.
Let me just keep
Thomas
adding.
Jefferson.
Let's just keep adding some more. Ben Franklin. There you go. But rather than listening to, he's got like, he's listening to, the Don Imuses and whatnot of the world. And then it's funny because here we are. It had to be for almost 20 years. I've been listening to talk radio basically every morning, listening to Ken and Adam and Chuck and all these podcasts that I listen to. And it's like, it never dawned on me, but yeah, and now young people do it. It's not even that it's an old guy thing. It used to be talk radio was an old person joke, but most people listen to podcasts on a regular basis. So we are all listening to talk radio. So what that tells you, two things that's going to happen. One, if there's only a million podcasts, technically the podcast revolution hasn't actually started. A bunch of people have said it and said that it's happening and blah, blah, blah. But we were at like 500,000. Everybody thought that was a podcast revolution. A million is a drop in the bucket just in the U.S. alone, right? Because there's 360 million of us. But then globally, we're talking a million podcasts globally. Globally, just at 8 billion, a million is nothing. So we're still at the infant stage of podcasts if you compare it to terrestrial television or even blogs for that matter. So there is still a huge opportunity for something to break out. The Joe Rogans of the world is just the first little brad nail in the general frame, but like the framing itself isn't completely baked yet. So maybe what we know as terrestrial radio will become podcast radio. It's more disambiguated a la Wikipedia or something. So I think the futurist department at Apple is onto something, and it's really, we should just ride it out and see what happens.
Yeah. And I mean, let's not forget, most radios, like traditional radio stations out there, have their own podcasts, have had their own podcast for sometimes 20 years or something. It wasn't even called podcast. I remember about 20, 25 years ago, there was something called a podcast already, but it was by like a local radio station. They just put out their comedy bits as like MP3. So yeah, about 20 years ago.
The first one that I really remember, this is so crazy because this is long before podcasts. Sean, I want to say King, but it's not Sean King. But back in the days of Seabold conferences, I think it was maybe Sean King. He did a thing where he would take like little snippets, MP3 snippets of interviews and stuff that he did at, Seabold conferences or Comdex. At that time, it was called Comdex, wasn't CES yet. And, the beginnings of Macworlds, the big LA Mac users group. And he would just post them on his website. And I'm thinking this goes all the way back to like 1990 something, when Real Player is how I used to listen to them. So, yeah, the little pods have technically been around forever.
Scott Shepard was doing that too.
Right. So, and then when podcast came out, everybody loves to give it to Adam Carolla. But I was like, I know people that were doing that before Adam Carolla was, a name per se. So, yeah, like we're still in the infancy. It's hard to believe that, but we are.
Yeah. And I think that's why Apple is looking into this. I mean, as you said, there's a huge potential, but there's also other players in the market that are doing something. I mean, Spotify is trying to gobble up a lot of podcasts and make them exclusive to Spotify and like lock things down. And Apple seems to be in the market of like not doing that. I mean, they have already released, what is it now, two podcasts? There's the Oprah Winfrey podcast, and yes, there's the news podcast right now.
What is that service that's yellow, that's the new, like, pay-only premium podcast one? Trevor Noah is on there. They pop him on my Instagram feed all the time. And yeah, I love Trevor Noah, but I just couldn't bring myself to do it because I feel like now, and it's going to happen, so we should just get ready. There's no need to complain. This is just a statement. Podcast is going to become cable television in a situation where if you want to see Foodie Flashback, you have to subscribe to the Food Network in order to get that podcast. So Jeffrey Zakarian, I'm going to introduce you to my friend Patrice.
That would be cool. I would do that.
No, you know, Sirius XM, which big in the States and in Canada, they're dabbling into the podcast world because they gobbled up Stitcher Radio, and then of course before that with music they grabbed Pandora. So you know they're obviously seeing the importance of podcasting and trying to expand onto it as well. So it just so much. So many places now. I mean, who'd have thought that the podcasting was now going to be become just as big as it has ever been?
And Clear Channel as well, right? You know, they they're setting themselves up for the failure of radio. So yeah, they already built the pillow on their way down.
Yeah. IR radio is awful. It's just like,
yes.
I'm not sure they're not setting themselves up too for the failure of TV because think about what you see on TV right now during prime time. And from everything, the little bit I've read about it, you're going to see just more of these reality shows that cost, you know, comparatively little to produce. Mm-hmm. And, you know, but they're one-time things. I mean, I don't know about you, but I can't imagine watching, not that I can't imagine watching any of them to start with, but, you know, watching reruns are worse mm-hmm. of them. Yeah, so yeah. I think that, and yet you turn around, the money that used to be going into network TV is now being put into things by Netflix and Amazon and the like. And so you're getting high quality drama. It's just not being broadcast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We are in a golden age of television, but
that's not television.
But it's not traditional television.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, definitely.
As the streamer here, which is funny because we've been streaming this podcast for 12 plus years now, but as the streamer here, and I see what's happening with Twitch, and I'm a YouTube streamer. I don't mess with Twitch at the moment, but I should. It's going to get even better. Cause what was that Jim Carrey movie? Truman.
The Truman Show.
The Truman Show is coming to fruition 2021-ish, like where it's more fun to just sit around and watch an actual human who you kind of sort of know, you know, like, you know, I mean, it's different. All of us, with the exception of David, have met in Meet Space. But, you know, the concept of, you know, these are my dudes that, you know, probably the last time we all been in the same room together was 2015 Macworld, rest in peace.
14.
Let me pour some out for Macworld. Yeah, 2014. 2014, correct. But yet, you know, once a week we got to get together. Once a week we got to talk story, and then a handful of people who would nothing better to do, obviously, sit down and watch what we got to say to each other. Mm-hmm. You know, like Ewan always says, like watching lads at the pub, you know, having a pint. Although I have Chuck down for like a leathery Cabernet.
How about a nice cold iced tea? Doc, you know, but you bring up something interesting, and I cannot remember the name of the girl because she was the first one that basically went around live streaming her life.
Yeah.
Does anybody remember what her name was?
That has been around. Like that was the beginning of YouTube Justin TV. No, that was the beginning of Justin TV, for example.
True. Yeah, but this is before that. This is before that, when it was, I mean, completely voyeuristic, and there was so much debate over it, and I cannot for the life of me.
I forgot, you know, the reason why, and it should stick in the head, because they found out later that she was like 3 years older, and, you know, it was a fake persona, and so she kind of disappeared. But I do exactly remember what you're talking about.
I think she was on a podcast recently, even. I remember.
Yeah. I forget what her name was. Oh God, that bothers me.
I can visualize,
but Jennifer Ringley came out.
Yes,
Jennifer Ringley, Lifecaster is what they were calling it. Mm, Jenny Cam. Yeah. Jenny Cam.
Jenny Cam. Oh,
yeah. Jenny Cam.
That's it. Yeah. I remember that.
Yeah. And so, and Doc, you're right. You know, that was the Truman Show in real life. And, you know, at some point, I mean, because there are people on that are streaming all the time, everything they do. Mm-hmm. It's just now there's more competition.
Yeah, yep. I mean, that was kind of it wasn't streaming, but the beginning of YouTube was a lot of that too, where like people would be vlogging their whole life, basically, day, every day.
Justine, she was on Justin mm-hmm. TV, and she got very, very popular there, and then moved over to become a YouTube star. And
you know, in the beginning, I thought that she was faking the name because it was just the same as this as the site, and then come to find out, she really is a Justine. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and then now. What's strange, and again, this is no slight to her at all, but big companies come to her and it's like, hey, can you help us, like, you know, show off our product and stuff like that?
Yep.
And
Even Apple.
Mm-hmm. And she, in a way, it's funny because she's not completely technically sound, but her advice has a lot to do with what sells and what doesn't sell. Mm-hmm. But the guy that comes to my mind, the dude who I absolutely miss because he was just so funny, was Chris Perillo in the Locker Gnome.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh.
He's still around, but I don't think he's not doing as he used to.
Chris was literally one of the OGs. Like, shout out to the OGs, man. That's funny.
Yeah. Oh, good times. Yeah, but coming back to Apple, I think this move makes sense. Could Apple have done this on their own? Probably. But I'm guessing, I mean, they were in the valley and they were probably cheap comparatively to just acquire the talent and people that have already
They buy talent. That's
I don't think Apple could have done this on their own.
I think they could. Like, they have enough people and they have enough experience with podcasting and streaming and so on. I think it was just faster and easier for them to do it this way. Just acquire the talent that already knows what they're doing instead of figuring it out themselves.
Yeah.
Well, the reason I say I don't think Apple could have done it on their own, while I'm willing to accept that you are probably right, Patrice, Ping.
Yeah. Yeah, I forgot about that one.
Wasn't there another one? Like, I think there were like two of them, right? Wasn't there
Connect? Connect. They're the same.
Yeah.
That was awful.
Yeah.
Dang, shots fired, gamut. That's on point. it becomes one of these things, though, right? Like, every single one of us could make an epic sandwich. And truth be told, if we took the time, every single one of us could make bread. But you don't start your sandwiches out with flour. You start your sandwiches out with bread. Apple just bought a loaf of bread. Now they're going to go make themselves a freaking Dagwood.
I think that's how most big companies think. I mean, I know it from my company. Like, we think about, like, we look at technology and then we think about, like, should we just acquire them? Is that worth it?
You know, it's funny. I don't know if everyone shows it, but you go into certain programs and you go into their sort of about the program section, and then you look up open source licenses. And then you see, like, for the most part, a large portion of almost every software on your Mac is highly open source. They polished it at the end and added a little salt bay. And then, okay, here's this program that you just paid a metric crap ton for. Mm-hmm. And it's not that saying that that's a bad model, because they added the polish. And for some things, like, you know, like, for instance, as a kid, there was no way I was eating broccoli at all. My mom smothered that sucker in cheese and I would deal with it, you know? So basically, most programs are the cheese on some broccoli. Now, as an adult, somebody give me some broccoli, I'm going to hit you, because I just ain't going to eat it, because now I can say no. But as a kid, I was like, no. My mom would wrap that joint in so much government bricks that I would eat it.
Doc, we can talk... broccoli nightmare sometime.
Oh God.
Maybe I should do a special episode of the Foodie Flashback with you too.
Oh God.
I am
just,
in.
Just about broccoli.
Just tell me.
I think David likes broccoli because he's like leaning in.
I do, actually.
Well, you see, this is how nature balances things out. Doc and I won't eat broccoli, so there's more for you.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I'll take it.
And And I'm like Switzerland of broccoli. I don't like it cooked, but I like it raw.
That makes sense. Like, there's a lot of vegetables I'm like that about.
Both ways. I like it both ways.
Yeah. All right. So, new episode name, Chuck Likes It Raw.
Okay.
That's my favorite sushi t-shirt.
I need to get me that t-shirt. The t-shirt will say Chuck Likes It Raw.
No.
He's making it right now.
Yeah. Hold on. I'm building it into my Zazzle story even as we speak. So we should probably talk about Apple Watch Series 6 because it's out. And
I didn't get a 6 yet because I'm still contemplating. But I got to say, as corny as it is, I love hand washing things. It's like, I'm gamifying my hand washing, and I already washed my hand because I'm slightly weird like that. I worked in a hospital for a long time, hence the name Doc. So I always wash my hands correctly anyway, but it's something about bring, ooh, bring.
I did it. Yay. I think I'm with you. The hand washing feature has been working perfectly for me ever since I upgraded to watchOS 7. And while I totally get that for a lot of people, they think it's a silly, weird thing, man, every time I go to wash my hands, it's like, I did it. I got my little tap for my wrist. And and I turned on the thing so that when I come home, I get the reminder, hey, go wash your hands.
Yeah.
That's I don't need that reminder. That's something since Corona, like I'm automatically doing.
Yeah, I don't need the reminder either, but what it showed me is that I'll come home, take care of a couple things, and then go wash my hands, as opposed to come home, wash my hands, and then go take care of a couple things.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so here's something that's going to be funny. I should have known better because, again, I used to work in a hospital. That was a normal thing. When I was working, in a hospital, as soon as I get to the hospital, I'd always wash my hands, even though I washed my hands before I got in the car. And that's just because it was a thing, that was just built in from hospital. Every time you step into the room, you wash your hands, right? Because there's a sink in every room. Then now I think it's going to happen, and it's probably going to happen more because of the way that the watch is. When we finally get out of this phase, I think a lot of people will go to washing their hands when they first come in the house now. And so what's that's going to happen is if that habit stays after all of this is over, the common cold and the general flu will also sort of lessen because people will be more cognizant of their hand washing and their distancing and just touching weird things or whatever.
Yeah, now, general touching thing.
Yeah. Surfaces. Now, the last part of this, which is completely weird to me, but it's funny. I grew up in a house where my dad had served in Asia, so he already had it in him. But we also had, we were the idiots with the light color carpet. So for as long as I've been a kid, you don't wear no shoes in the house. Ever, never, ever, never, ever. I find it absolutely funny now that I live in Hawaii, because Hawaii is mostly Asian, so there's no shoes in the house here. So again, it's on point. I find it funny how many people are freaked out about germs all over the place, and they're outside walking around, and they walk right in their house. Some even so much put their feet up on the couch, shoes on, in their bed, shoes on, like the whole nine yards, but yet people are freaked out about hand washing. And I find that hilarious to me. Again, no judgment, you do you, but if you really process that thought, like you are walking in all kind of mucky muck out there. So I love that Pinterest made mudrooms popular again, because then it means maybe finally people in the mainland will stop wearing their shoes in the house.
The no shoes in the house thing, I am so with you. No shoes in my house, period.
Yeah.
No.
Also, I love that our discussion is here and not Apple Watch 6. And I walked on you, Patrice. I'm sorry, it's all you.
No, I was just saying, like, I was one of those people who, like, wouldn't take off their shoes. And I don't know why. I don't think it wasn't a thing. And then I started doing it when I visited you. And,
yeah, like, after you come back from Hawaii. You know? Like,
yeah, I'm like, and after that, I was like, this makes so much sense. Like, well, and from that point on, like, I'm just walking around barefoot in my apartment. That's it.
Carpet cleaner, floor cleaner. It's so much better. And you do have to get those. Sharper Image is closed now, so you can't get them anymore. I ordered from Amazon, but I had the Mr. Rogers like Brookstones when you come in, and they're really really cushy. you know, so I had to order a new pair of Raiders memory foam shoes for the crib. But that's for when it's cold feet days. But even that doesn't happen much here. But for you guys, it makes sense. So Jeff probably has the Tasmanian Devil ones.
Not yet, but I'm about to.
Adidas is making Lego kicks. I meant to send you that.
I saw that. And
The Star Wars ones.
Yeah, the Levi's is doing Lego jackets and pants.
Who needs pants?
So, but hey, I could do a Lego jacket.
Don't ruin your reputation, Jeff.
Did anybody get their six? Oh, Patrice, weren't you waiting on your six?
I was waiting on my six, and it is currently somewhere in Germany. It was like, it still says it's supposed to be delivered today, but since it's 9 p.m., I don't think so. It's still somewhere in Germany. So.
Okay, Chuck, why do I got to upgrade?
I got it too.
And Dave, you got the blue.
Oh, Chuck's muted. Sorry.
I did get the blue, if you could see it.
Doc, mine just got here yesterday. I literally paired it up last night and haven't done a thing with it. So I can't answer the question.
You're saving me money.
Stuff
I appreciate
up.
It.
I can, because I've had it for over a week.
Go for it, David. Sell it.
Well, I mean, I had the Series 4, so I decided, you know, I waited. I didn't think the Series 5 was worth the upgrade when I had the 4. So I'm like, I'm good. So then... this came along, and then I decided, you know what, I like the always on. I like the, I it attracted me on the faster performance on it, and the color was really hot. I really like this blue. So I traded in my Series 4 to Apple. They gave me $140, which was, I thought, was fine. It wasn't terribly bad, because for all the grief I'd go through trying to sell it, you know, my time's more valuable than to worry about that. So of course they announced it on that Wednesday, and then I looked online and they happened to have one at a local store here. So I was able to go and pick it up at the store on Friday. I decided on the band. I went with this one. That's the two-tone orange and blue. I really love these, and I've got, you know, I've probably got about 20 bands, of course, of different styles, like all of us do. I looked at the solo loop, and then hearing all the nightmares of people not sizing it right. I was like, God. And plus the fact that it's like $40 or $50 more in price. I'm like, why do I want that? I was always perfectly happy with this band. So I went with that. I mean, originally we were hearing that Apple was making people send the whole watch back if the size of the band wasn't sized right. They just changed that yesterday. Now that you can take the band and send it off, because, you know, most of us already have extra bands, we can swap it. But I never had the always on because the Series 4 didn't have that. Really, I really like that, and I do definitely see a performance kick from the S on the from the Series 5 to Series 6. You can see the processors S5 to S6. So in that sense, I like it. The blood oxygen measurement, I think it's nice. I mean, I think it does give the opportunity of being able to see what that is, along with the ECG and all the other health stuff. But you know, overall, I'm pretty happy. I think I made a good choice with this. I mean, when the next watch comes out next year, who knows? Unless Apple comes up with something that's drastic, I'll probably do the same thing again, because I've been one, like with iPhones, I'm always one that like to upgrade all the time, you know, because that's me. And
me too.
That's my topic that I talk about my podcast all the time. So I got to stay on it. Right. You know, so when the 12 comes out, I'm more than likely probably going to, because I'm in the trade-in program, so I can just trade in and get it.
Well, amazing part was you said 140 for the 4, because I have a 5. I wonder what they give me for
the 5. You're going to get about 180.
That's good. That's good. That's crazy. Yeah. That's better than I thought.
Yeah. And I've had, based on my experience so far, which has been minimal, but Dave is right, you know, and I hadn't really thought about it, but it is definitely snappier. Yeah. I mean, it definitely makes a difference. But I got the, what do they call it? The loop, the solo loop.
You did go the solo loop. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, just because I had to order a band of some kind, and I've got enough sport bands, you know, I'm tired of those. And I used a sizing tool, and it was perfect. I mean, I am not wearing the solo loop because I never intended to. It'll go in the box, but I put it on just to see how it did. And if you followed the instructions, you got it. You got it. For at least for me, it worked perfectly.
That's funny. Yeah, Patrick said he ordered one. Yeah, go ahead, Jeff.
Patrick in the chat room, he says, didn't work for him though, the sizing. And so he was told by Apple he either has to send the whole watch back or try and do an in-store exchange. Patrick, I'm curious if you contacted Apple again now.
Yeah.
Maybe they would do the band swap out without the whole watch thing, since
they will.
Yeah. So try that.
I don't understand how that was even, I mean, how Apple even thought that wasn't that was acceptable to send back the entire thing just because the watch band doesn't fit. I mean,
so I can explain that in a kind of a really strange way. This is funny because it just happened recently, and I had to take my friend off a ledge. So in Apple, when anything goes wrong with the support, what happens is all of my friends that know I used to work there, they call me and they kind of run me through the calls as if I'm still an employee. So when COVID happened, they had to ramp up their at-home people. Now, the phone calls right now are a combination of cats that were already at home advisors and cats that work in the store that are just at home, but they don't just want to sit idly and accept a check. They want to do something. So right now, when you call, you also got a bunch of new people that they added in order to be able to keep up with the demands of COVID, because everybody needs to know how to work Zoom and all this other weird, you know, things like that. So my friend called, it was like losing his mind, like, and he was saying words that I felt uncomfortable with, and I'm a sailor when it comes to swearing. And I was like, okay, hold that thought. Okay, I'm gonna loop you in. And I said, just shut up. I called back, it had him on the phone, and says, now ask this person exactly what you just told the other person. And they walked him all the way through and was able to solve his problem. When you run into a problem with tech support, especially during COVID, I don't care what company is, just don't swear, hang up, call back, get the next person who read the instructions better or just has a better way of, you know, problem solving. And it almost always goes away. I've had situations where as soon as I realize it's going south, okay, yeah, I'm sorry, I appreciate you, bye, click, call right back, and you get the answer that you were looking for. And it's just because there's a lot of people doing tech support right now, they either don't have the experience or they just don't know what they're capable of doing. Like a long-term employee knows your job is to solve the problem, but new employees are scared to get fired, so they don't know that they can just take care of things. They give you a lot of leeway to take care of things, by the way.
Oh, Apple does. I know. I mean, like my experience.
And I want to say one thing too to Patrick, because when I was indicating that I had a perfect fit, he got the single loop braided band. I did not get the braided. And so whether that makes a difference or not, I don't know. But so just for what it's worth.
You know, as long as you're talking about these specific bands, that solo band, so it's always a closed loop,
right?
Is it just me, or is that Apple telegraphing that AirPower is really dead, because you can't use AirPower with a loop or a band that's completely
can't lay
closed
flat anymore?
Yeah. I mean, we don't know how the AirPower device looked like. Maybe like there was a little like cut in underneath it, and you could literally slide in the thing with a band.
Yeah. All we have to go on for how it looked was that the one shot that they put up during the one keynote, where we saw a photo of this flat tray. But you know, that was a long time ago in technology terms now. So who knows?
I'm gonna call AirPower dead.
Yeah. I think so too. But I said it is always possible that Apple solved whatever, like, they could, you know, I mean, Apple, sometimes they have something in the back of their head, they want to do it, they can't because it's technically not feasible, and then eventually, like, there are a couple people still thinking about it, even if it's on the side, like while they're doing something else, and then eventually they have like an idea and it works out, and then the product comes back. Like, this has happened in Apple's history a couple of times. I mean, even with, like, I mean, the phone, like, they had the whole idea about like having a phone and like also a tablet idea, and it just took a while for the technology to be, and for someone to have the idea for multi-touch and say, hey, and then they were like, hey, wait a second. Now we can do a phone. So yeah, I think Apple could bring it back. I'm not sure they will want to do that this soon though. They just killed it. So I think it's too fresh for them to actually bring it back and say, hey.
But somebody explain to me why AirPower, other than the fact that Apple said they were going to release it and then appeared to drop the ball, why is that such a big deal when we have so many other charging options out there and we have multi-device charging options out there? I mean, is it just because it had an Apple logo on it?
Well, okay. No, here's my thought on this. On one hand, it's not a big deal at all because we had a wide range of options before AirPower was announced, and we have an even wider range of options after it was announced. Mm-hmm. It's a big deal in that Apple announced it and said, hey, here's this thing we're going to do, and then didn't. And people love bagging on the big guy and especially bagging on Apple. So a lot of people look at this as a failure on Apple's part, and Apple's never going to say, oh yeah, we have officially just killed this because we blew it. You'll never hear anything like that from Apple. Although they did say, yeah, we're not going to release this because it wasn't up to our standards.
But I mean, the thing about AirPower was it wasn't just multi-device charging. They promised like a lot of extra things, like that they wanted to work with like the charging standards to like improve like charging and make it more flexible and everything. So there was more to AirPower than just, okay, you can charge three devices at once. But I mean, since then there have been manufacturers who have somewhat done at least something close to it.
I got this here. This is the Scotia one, and there's charging for the watch, the iPhone. There you got the watch, and then put your iPad here, and then that just plugs in. So I mean, they're all coming out with all these different concepts when it comes to.
I like the fact that they have a target for the iPhone, so that you can hit it. That's kind of genius.
Boom.
That's actually pretty smart.
And it has the LED light that comes on. As soon as you move it over and it's on there, it tells you that it's charging. So
I have my extra one somewhere around here that I got from something. And I took the loop half out of it because I'm going to actually just put it into a little wood, like throw everything in a tray kind of thing. And then have that tray plugged in. And so the phone will, you know, be able to charge when it gets in the wood. But I'm with Chuck. Like, I just think at first everybody was all ooh-ah, ooh-ah. But it's been so long that it's not that big a deal, people. Mm-hmm. Like, I want to get to, you remember when Citizen first came out with, you know, as long as my grandpa's arm was moving, he no longer had to wind his watch. Because it used to be, hey, boy, winding the watch. Because I always got a kick out of winding the watch. Yeah. And then Citizen came out with perpetual motion. I more want to see that. I more want to see that all of the moving around we do at 10,000 steps, you got to be able to trickle charge my watch, man. You know what I'm saying?
No, but not enough. Like,
yeah, I don't know. Like, or a little solar thing, you know, here on the band that connects, you know, that when if you're an outside worker, or if you look at the Logitech, you know, keyboard, of course, it doesn't use the same as a watch, but it's still working, right? My 670 is still banging. I swear I bought that thing in 2012. It's still banging, you know? So I'm more into seeing something of that, you know? And I agree, Magic Man is correct. Cableless charging at this moment is still inefficient, but you know what I'm saying? Like, I would rather them be working on that than some little air charger thing. Screw the air charger, move on.
Yeah, and I mean, the point is, I mean, Apple doesn't have to do everything. Apple actually doesn't do everything. There's a very healthy third-party, like, accessory market, like even watch bands and everything. Apple does not have to do everything. And like, I mean, they deliver a charger. So it's not that you couldn't, like, if you didn't buy anything, you couldn't charge it. And I think that's good enough. And if anybody needs anything else, there are 1,000,001 manufacturers out there that offer whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
True. True story. Yep. It's funny that everybody clamped onto that window, but I do believe this is true. I mean, you guys correct me if I'm wrong. I think a lot of people clamped onto it because they need, there are people out there that want to see the slip ups. So they just want to have a chance to blow up and slip up more than they actually cared whether it came out or not.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, it is one of the rare products that Apple actually announced and never, or at least so far, never shipped.
You mean Meng Chi Kuo's Apple TV?
Yeah. I mean, they never announced that one. So like nobody can claim that that one even existed, but like this one they announced and then they couldn't deliver. That is rare for Apple. Usually they only announce it when they're ready.
How long has that dude been saying that Apple's going to make a TV?
About 10 years.
Yeah. Even Walt gave up on that.
Yeah. Over 10 years.
Yeah.
Right, next week, today on macOS Kid, Meng Chi Kuo says Apple TV is almost ready.
Yeah.
Ciao. Hey, to Magic Man's Ciao. Point, though, I am curious. How many people here use a wireless charger?
I do.
I use a wireless charger.
Well, for the Apple Watch.
Yeah. No,
for the phone.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, I do.
But I don't use it expecting it to be the full power charging. I have a wireless charger sitting on my desk. So when I'm just sitting here working, my phone's going to be sitting on the desk anyhow. I can just set it on a little charger. And then by my nightstand, I have a wireless charger for the iPhone that has the built-in Apple Watch charger. So they just both sit there all night long. Yeah.
The common problem with wireless charging, and this is the thing, I bought an Anker, and this is the Anker, like, higher wattage one. It actually has, you know, special cooling and a fan and temperature sensors and the whole nine yards. If you bought a good one, they're perfectly fine. Mine charges faster than my regular cord. It never gives any problems. It knows how to go into slowdown mode, which Apple added at like iOS 13, you know, when it gets to like 80% and then it slows down. It knows how to do all of that stuff. But if you bought the $7, $8, $9, $10, you know, piece of crap ones from Amazon, get what you pay for, player. That's on you. This guy right here, because this was like $40, it does exactly what it's supposed to do.
Yeah.
And I have
the thing is for wireless charging, especially if, like how most people charge on the nightstand, speed doesn't even matter. Yep. Like the phone is sitting there for whatever, 7-8 hours, hopefully. Let's say 6.
If you guys keep making me come for the show.
I mean that is way more time than even like a slow trickle charger will need.
Yep. Yeah. I just know that a lot of people have problems because they bought junk ones, but if you bought like a Moshi or Anker or any of the better brands, Belkin, whatever, the real MFI guys, you're normally pretty fine. Like I do have a weird one that came from nowhere because I bought it with the intention of taking it apart, and just hitting the target sucks. There's that.
Yeah, exactly. So I said, I don't think this for wireless charging speed. Unless it is maybe at your desk or, I know, at the restaurant or something where you're only like a certain period of time. But even at your desk, if you're working from home, like, I mean, working there for whatever, 8 hours, doesn't matter. Like the phone could be charging at whatever, 10% an hour and probably still would be fine.
Yeah, and, you know, and if I feel like I need to charge faster, well, there's the Lightning connector cable that I have plugged in all the time that I'm using to charge my iPads. And I'll just plug my iPhone into that for a little bit. Mm-hmm. Or when I'm in my car, it's plugged into a Lightning cable in the car.
Yeah, I have cables everywhere. Like I have it my nightstand cables. I have it my desk at work. I have my desk here. I have cables everywhere. I just plug in.
Okay.
Great.
Just really curious as to how you all did it, because I've used the wireless, but on my nightstand I have a wired, just because, you know, that way I'm guaranteed that no matter what time I get up and or what the circumstances are, it's always going to be charged. So.
Mm-hmm. That's why like I'm really curious, like, I mean, my family is like that, their phones are perpetually low on charge and I don't know what they're doing with it, because mine is like hovering probably like 70-80% half of the time.
Yeah, I always wondered that too. Like, I have friends that say, "Man, my phone battery is always dead." I'm like, "What are you doing?" Like, I feel, as you know, the type of job that we have and things like that, I think I use my phone a lot. Like, I think my screen time even says I use my phone a lot. So I don't know what people do, but I think part of it could also be we are understanding of the type of apps that will drain power. So when the thing comes up and says, would you like to allow this app to use your notification? We are more leery of, I only need you to use notification when I open you. When I don't open you, I need you to shut the bad words up. Okay. Yeah. I think we're better at that. I think other people that don't know that, they just say, oh yeah, because I'm just trying to hurry up and go, right? Because I'm trying to get to what I need to get. So they go blah, 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 and they just go on all the time. And so all their apps are going, he's here, he's here, he's here, he's here. And that is just useless. Like, you don't need to do that, fam. You know, so be cognizant of your location aware apps. Number one, it's bad for your battery. Number two, you're snitching on yourself. So then you say the government is watching you when your ad comes up showing you a three wood because you and Chuck talked about three woods. You know what I'm saying? You just happen to be in the same space at the same location, and they know you guys are of the same ilk. So all of a sudden, because those two guys like golf, you're going to see a golf club ad. It's not that they're listening to you. It's just location based. So don't give up that info when you don't need to.
There you go.
Fair point.
Hey, this show and all the other shows on the British Tech Network are sponsored by TSO Hosts. So thank you to them, because they're giving us the infrastructure that we need to be able to stream all this content out, despite the fact that I'm hosting instead of Ewan. And so we'll see if that continues after this week. But no, seriously, they are going above and beyond to make sure that they're is space to host these shows so that you can go back and watch them again. And Righty is working on putting together the best of list for past shows. And so all they're asking is that you give them a shout out on social media. So do that, TSO Hosts, go and give them some love online. And thank you to TSO Hosts for sponsoring all of the BTN shows. And then also thank you to Imend Max, even though Callum didn't show up today. No, seriously, Imend Max, they're awesome. They can fix anything that has an Apple logo on it. And even to the point of, Doc, you had a friend that shipped a phone from the US over and they were able to recover data from it.
Yep. Quite coolio.
Yes, and they fix things that are out of warranty, and instead of just like throwing out major components and then replacing them with whatever else they can find, they will do board level repairs, so that they will go in and like pull chips off and put new chips on, and it's crazy. And when you hear Cal talking about how he's doing this, the same as the way normal people talk about making a sandwich, it's like, yeah, whatever, yeah, I just mix the stuff, and you know, it's amazing and just crazy to think that it's that easy for Cal to actually literally strip down parts of motherboards or circuit boards and put stuff back on. So thank you to TSO Hosts. Thank you to Imend Max. And now it's time to do some cool things. Dave, do you have a cool thing today? And if you have a link, drop it into the chat.
You put me on the spot. I didn't get one ahead here. So,
well, then we'll move on. If you come up with something cool, and if not, well, now you'll be ready for next time.
No, I'll come up with something in a moment.
All right. I'll just work down my grid. Chuck, how about you?
Can I give you a not cool thing?
Yeah,
sure. And then maybe give you a cool thing?
Which means I'm supposed to apologize to you, because whatever it is, I probably did it. So I'm sorry.
No, you know, you would know. I've never seen anybody do this before. And I do have a cool thing, so I'll do that in a minute. But I had a cool thing happen to me earlier this week when I was watching a presentation by a company that will not be named, had nothing to do with tech, by the way. And I heard this phrase and it's burnt in my brain ever since. And so never, 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 ever should this phrase be uttered by any presenter for any reason. The phrase is, please pay attention to the first 10 bullet points on this slide.
Oh, no.
It's like, and there were more than 10. There were more than 10, but please pay attention to the first 10. And it's like, my head exploded. I mean, I wanted to go right through Zoom and choke him. So never, folks, never, 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 ever say, please pay attention to the first 10 bullet points on this slide.
Never put 10 bullet points on the slide. Let's start with that.
Exactly.
Mistake number one.
Exactly. Exactly.
That is just. That is.
You want to hear my freaking rule of thumb on bullet points on slide real quick? I never even try to have three, but actually, normally, I never put bullet points on slides.
Yep.
I use pictures only slides. Yep. And I the bullet points are in me because otherwise people read the bullet points and then they go back to their phone. You read the bullet points because they don't have to listen to you. So I prefer to put nothing on there other than images and then work from there.
Mm. Yep.
That's a Seth Godin trick.
I will put text on it, but no bullet points. And the text is like, I mean, you can't do anything with it without my context.
Yep. PowerPoint, death by PowerPoint, and PowerPoint kills by bullets.
Yep.
But Chuck, you won't know that unless you read the first 10 bullet points on this next slide.
Chuck, that is awesome. I'm going to use that in my live stream tomorrow. I'm going to bring up the story. And again, I won't have to worry about hiding the company because I don't know who it is, but that's funny. That's super funny.
Every company out there. So
yeah, that's the truth. No, my cool thing, this was sort of an accidental purchase. It came up on a lightning deal, and I was on Amazon, and I was sort of in the market for something for a riser to give me take my iMac up a little bit and give me a little more desktop real estate. And this one, it's off lightning deal now, but I've been really, really happy with it for the last week. It's just a metal riser, has two levels. So there's a little shelf that I can put things on. They show in the ad, you know, a pad and a paper, but I've got one of my Thunderbolt docks in there, along with some extra room for one of the processors here for the audio. And it takes all that stuff and gets it up off the desk, makes it nice and compact, raises my iMac up to a level that I like it better. And it is super sturdy and it has not been expensive. I know there's some folks out there and some names we know that are selling like really beautiful iPad stands. And you know, they are beautiful. There's no question about it, but I don't need beauty. I just need functionality and save a little money. And so this was good. This was 24. I got it for less, but right now it's $24 on Amazon. So if you're in the market for such an animal, this one is a good choice, believe me.
Awesome. All right, Doc, how about you?
Okay, so I want to show you something. I got to disconnect it real quick. I got this as a Christmas present. I mean, not a Christmas present, as a birthday present. And I think it's actually pretty cool. So if you have a device that has to sit on your desk and say you're into trying to make your desk look very studio oriented, or you just want to give it a little zazz for your own personal benefit, right? As you guys know, I might've talked about this a couple of weeks ago. I got this swanky mechanical keyboard and Patrice hates me, Jerome and Topher, because we're all about our swanky mechanical keyboards.
All you're talking about.
Right. Because I got the mechanical keyboard, my buddy Topher made me this cable for my birthday. This is a really, really cool corded cable. It's thick, it's braided. It's actually made out of paracord. Like you see everything on Pinterest is made out of paracord. Mm-hmm. There's people that make children out of paracord. And they use aviation connector to put it on the end. Now there's a bunch of various styles of aviation connectors you can use, but basically you spin this guy off. So if you ever need to change the tip, like right now, this one is a USB-C to USB-A, but if you wanted to go C to C, you would only have to change the tip like this portion. And then, so this is it in practical. So it's really cool because, you know, It just looks really good on the desk. Now, the cool thing is it could be any color way you want because you can make it however you want. Now, they are available to purchase on Amazon in the myriad orders and things like that. But we're going to go one step further because I thought it was cool that, you know, my buddy Topher took the time to make this for me. So this is the company. It's called Zap Cables. And they're not too expensive at all. You can buy, you know, just the cordage. You can buy whatever tips you want. The really swanky, beautiful connectors are called Limo connectors. These you find on high-end audio, but they also use them in aeronautics and things like that. So you can step your game up there. You can pick whatever type of, you know, USB-C to USB-C, USB to micro, whatever. And these are cool because they come in the kit. And what makes it nice is, you know, I'll use the UK phraseology here. You'll do your own soldering. It's soldering.
Soldering.
Soldering. Sorry. Send your hate mail to un@britishtechnetwork.com. But it's soldering, UK people. I don't know what the heck soldering is. But yeah, you can make your own cables and you can get really, really swanky with it. So I'm going to make some more for the various other cables that belong on my desk during the stream, just because when you do the overhead shot or you want to switch, it just makes it look better. And of course, these are way stronger and sturdier than what's ever built in. And yes, really, really cool stuff. So I just thought I'd give number one, thanks to Tofi for making this for me, because this is a pretty cool cable. But he just also created another bad habit for us to irritate Patrice with.
Yep.
That is just awesome. And Doc, I'm totally into the mechanical keyboard thing, and now I think you've just you're an enabler. That's what it is. You're an enabler,
dude. If you love the Matthias that you had for so long, and like I love my DOS keyboard mostly because my two best friends are German. Actually, three. All three of them. The name of our group is Sauerkrauts because Patrice, Topher, and Jerome are all German. So I'm the only one that's not. So yeah, get a Keychron K8. It is the bee's knees. I let my niece type on it and she's like, "Uncle, I need one of these." I let Karen type on it and she's like, "How can I get one of these?" And they know nothing about mechanical keyboards. It is a typer's dream.
All right. Well, great. Now I have some shopping to do. All right, Patrice, what's your pick?
So my pick is my favorite email app. I'm pretty sure Ewan picked that recently since he discovered it, but I've been on the beta for the last, I want to say 5 years. I've tried almost every email app that is available for a Mac on the planet or on iOS. I've tried them all. I've hated almost all of them. There were some that were okay, but none of them were any good. Spark is the one that I prefer and that I love. The smart inbox alone is worth it. I mean, it's free, so I'm not even paying for it, but like the smart inbox alone is worth it. It groups your emails by like newsletters and like notifications and so on smartly across. I have somewhere around 10 email accounts. Works seamlessly with all 10 on all my devices. It's really funny. I get notification, like if someone joins one of my meetings, I get a notification from Zoom. The notification for the email is in my inbox before the person has joined the meeting. So I don't know how that even happens. Zoom must be slow, like joining people. I don't know, but like that's crazy. That's how crazy good Spark is. The search is really, really good. I use the snooze feature, snoozing emails all the time, like especially for work when I'm like getting an email on a Friday afternoon. I'm like, I don't want to deal with this. I just snooze it until Monday. I don't even see it. I don't even want to see it if I go into my email account. It just disappears and comes back on Monday. That's all I need. Available, that's the really cool thing. It is available on iOS. It is available on the Mac. It's available on Android and soon also on Windows. So they're truly cross-platform. And it's like, I mean, I've met the developers. I've met the people behind it. They do some really good, yeah, absolutely. They do some really, really good like apps in general and like companies in Ukraine. They're just great. And as I said, it's completely free. There's a Teams option for businesses, like where you can literally collaborate on emails and so on. And I know some businesses and some people that actually use that. I mean, I don't need it because I don't have a team to work with, But I know entire businesses that run basically off Spark for Teams, and it's not expensive. It's not like $100 a month or something. Like, I think it's for the basic
$630.
Yeah, something like that per user, so per month, which is what it does, nothing.
Yeah, that's
it. Dennis guys are so good. They're so innovative. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like they take the most menial task and try to Apple it, you know. So mm-hmm. between their PDF program and then Spark and a couple other stuff that they do, Rito, from the very beginning, they're like, we're going to find a way to make it pretty, make it simple, and make it work. And yeah, I'm surprised. Like, yeah, it's pretty good stuff.
Yeah, they're just amazing, as I said. Actually, like, they support Outlook, iCloud, Google, Exchange, Standard IMAP, like whatever you need. Like, they have integrations for quite a few apps, including Zoom and so on. Just really, really, really good app. It's a first class, like one of the few first class citizens on Mac and iOS. We really notice that they like spend a lot of time thinking about like what is a good Mac app, and not throwing something together like so many others have done.
Nice. Excellent pick. Okay, Dave, I see you have a pick now.
I do have a pick. I've used this software for quite a long time. It's made by developed by a company Softorino. It's Softorino YouTube Converter 2. It's been around for a number of years, and I think out of all the YouTube download converters, I think this one's the cleanest and easiest one to use, as well as going to provide some great quality downloads. You could download videos all the way up to 4K, and it works with YouTube as well as about 64 other different sites, including Vimeo, SoundCloud, and others, and you can just a real quick, easy way to download these things. And we were just talking about this on the show yesterday on In Touch with iOS, having a download of your YouTube video when you do it in a presentation. Mm-hmm. It converts it into on your Mac, your iPhone, even your iPod if you want to, and also you can do it in iTunes. And basically could build your own, and it says it in the app, you can build your own iTunes library from YouTube music. Because if you know what people are that there's tons of YouTube quote unquote videos with that's just music. So it's real nifty. You can do audio, video, and ringtones you can create with it. All you do is copy and paste the URL from whatever source, and it sees it, automatically converts it, downloads it in a matter of seconds. So, and it's actually really cheap too. They're having I just went to their site. They're having the 50% off sale. It's like $10.
Nice.
And you can't beat it. And I've seen them in bundles before. And I think I've probably purchased this in a bundle at one point. And it's on the Mac and then as well as believe it or not on Windows. So now we don't talk about that here, but it's a great piece of software. I like it a lot.
It's cool. They added some of their Walter and Ring features into the YouTube converter because I know Jeff and I always loved Walter before. His thing when you start the app and he comes on and does his goofy video, it cracks me up every time. Yeah. And I've already seen it like 100 times, but that guy's weird. He's super weird.
Yep.
So good piece of software.
Awesome. Okay. My pick is Untitled Goose Game, which is not a new game. And I think it's something I picked a long time ago. But the reason I'm picking it today is because they just released an update where you can now team up and play remotely with someone else. So now you can have two geese roaming and terrorizing the little village. And it's a free update.
That's funny.
And they rolled the update out across all platforms. So it doesn't matter which version of Untitled Goose Game you're playing, you can get the multiplayer version now.
These guys are Panic developers, yeah?
Yes.
That's funny.
Yes.
Their side project. Yeah. Stop making Goose Games and make Coda 3, damn it.
Well, they just released Nova.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's true. That's true.
Yeah. You're saying Coda 3 doesn't need to happen.
Yeah, and you're saying like they're rolling it out everywhere, and like they didn't put in like their own like payment screen, and then like went to the courts and stuff, and then said basically Apple is extorting them. That's not what they did. No,
that is not what they did.
Wow,
they just added in a new feature made it available to everyone, and didn't make a legal case out of it.
Huh. Wow. Imagine that.
Amazing.
Imagine that. All right. Well, we are out of time, and this has been loads of fun. And Ewan, I apologize because there's probably something I need to apologize for. So that's handled. Dave, where can people find you?
Well, they can find me on my podcast, In Touch with iOS. It's intouchwithios.com. Jeff was just on the show. We got to get that published today.
That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, we had a lot of fun. And I've never mentioned this. I'm also president of Suburban Chicago Apple Users, an Apple user group locally here in Chicago. I've been doing that for the last 10 plus years, and we have a lot of fun talking about Apple stuff as well. So, and then, of course, you can find me on Twitter at DaveG65.
And Chuck, where can people find you?
Find me over at MacVoices.com. That's where we talk to lots of interesting people. We are also doing a live show Tuesday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern, on a pretty regular basis right now. I had it going now for a few months, and it's a lot of fun. Completely different vibe as far as the interaction goes. And you can find me on Twitter as @ChuckJoyner.
Awesome. Doc, how about you?
Well, live shows is the answer. Chuck is correct. You can find me on YouTube, of course, youtube.com/DocRock. And I do my live show every Tuesday and Thursday. And so that's basically 8 Hawaiian, 11 California, 7 British Standard Time. And one thing that I just realized from listening to Dave, my partner on my Wednesday live stream is Scott Seals from the Hot Mix 5 from the old BMX days, which is now V103 or whatever the heck they call themselves. Yeah. So, yeah. So like all of the OG Hawaii househeads, they're all guests on my DJ show. So you probably have listened to majority of those cats.
I've heard them.
It's kind of funny.
Yeah. WBMX, that was a big station.
Cool. All right, Patrice, where can people find you?
Well, first I want to apologize for the nudity in the middle of the show. And now Ewan has to listen to the entire show to realize that it's not.
That's funny. That's funny.
You can find me every week on the Mac Show and on the Big Show here on BTN. Like all the links, everything I do, socials and so on, everything is on thepatrice.com. And my podcast is the Foodie Flashback, where I talk about food-related memories and like everything that goes with that. I just released an episode with Adam Christensen, aka MacCast. You can listen to that. The next one coming up is with Chris Ashley. So that one will be very interesting. I can tease as much. Find that at foodieflashback.com.
And people can find me on Twitter and Instagram. I'm Jay Gamut, both places. Next week, so October 1st and 2nd, I am at SearchCon, which is an SEO conference. And it's being hosted remotely. I am hosting a panel on automation and improving productivity in your business. And if you want to learn more, you can go to searchcon.events, and it should be a lot of fun. And soon, I will have episodes out for that interview show. And I'm very much looking forward to people getting to hear these awesome stories. So thanks everyone for being here. And I'm sure Ewan will be back at some point, maybe next week, maybe not. And it'll just be an adventure to see who's hosting shows next week. Mm-hmm. And Ewan, I hope everything went awesome for you today. And let's do it again next week. All right. Thanks everyone.
Bye.